This is section 2 of the PDH online audio course, Minimal AutoCAD. In this section, we're doing start a drawing commands. In this section, we will show you the meanings of new, template, open, grid, snap, OSnap, polar, pan, image, insert, bottle space, paper space, and the layer manager. In the written version of this is a picture of an empty AutoCAD screen. I think I'll describe it in the text in a moment, but we're talking about a screen full box with an outer frame and an inner frame. The outer frame is AutoCAD with the AutoCAD menu. The inner frame is drawing one. When you turn it on, when I turn it on, this can be different on different machines depending on the way it's configured, even the same version if it's configured differently. But when I turn mine on, I get an empty black screen with dots spaced at about half inch the way the screen's set up, and arrow with X, W, X, and Y down in the bottom. And once again, this will be discussed in the lesson. It doesn't really matter how it starts. Usually, it's set up by whoever set it up for you with an initial blank drawing. It doesn't go into a drawing of your set. So you have to choose the next drawing you're going to do anyway. In one version, if I think about it a while, I'll remember which version it is, it asks you if you want to open a new drawing or an existing drawing. But the effect is essentially the same. If you notice, the list changed slightly. As I was working on this, I found some more commands that needed to go into it, and I put it in the introduction to the section, and I neglected it in the introduction to the course. So we will be talking about polar and plan, which I don't think were in the earlier discussion. Or the earlier warning. I start AutoCAD by clicking on the AutoCAD icon on my desktop. I get a large black workspace with a small pair of XY arrows. And I think there's a W kind of hidden inside the user coordinate system icons. A UCS is a term that shows up once in a while when you're reading through the documentation. It has no effect on anything. It won't get in your way. You can just kind of ignore it. But it's distinctive of AutoCAD, and when you do screenshots of AutoCAD, you get the little arrows in the bottom that shows it came from AutoCAD. When you do cut and paste, you don't get them. Explanatory note. If you open AutoCAD and find a real mass of toolbars and loose icons, you can remove them by right-clicking on the border of each and unchecking the menu that appears. I go through all of them to leave a workspace blank. This will persist on the machine. The next user, who really likes all the little icons, will complain. There is no return capability. He has to turn them on individually. Now, I say that, and it's true, except the very most modern version of AutoCAD has an unlabeled icon in the lower right-hand corner that lets you go to a clean workspace, and that's one of the reasons to upgrade. That is probably not available on the version you're using, but it's worth looking for. It saves you some trouble, saves some ill will when the next person comes by and really loves that particular icon that you just turned off. At the very top, I have an unreadable icon on a wasted line that says Autodesk Building System 2005. Now, again, I use a lot of different versions of AutoCAD at a lot of different stations, working for different companies, visiting construction sites. It's my job to be able to use all of them. Well, that's an advantage for you, because whatever you've got in front of you, I've used it, and hopefully we'll have some recommendations in this course for using it. About half of this course was written exercising the commands on AutoCAD Building Systems 2005. There is a set of standard Microsoft full screen, tiled screen, minimize, and close boxes on the top right. I use tiled screen because I copy a lot into and out of external documents. When you're in tiled screen, you know, with a little one square half on top of the other, that means you can shrink and expand your drawing, put a Microsoft Word document next to it, cut off yours, put it into that one, or cut off that one and put it into yours. Real slick. As the screens have gotten bigger, this has become more and more useful. I keep telling people I need a 17-inch wide screen on my laptop. Because, again, that's the way my mind works, putting one next to the other. I think you actually get more square inches of workspace on a 17-inch standard format, but I'm in love with the widescreen. Whatever works for you. Next line on my screen is 13 top-level menus. Now, there are only 12 on the graphic in the book because I was doing this on another system at the time. And, you know, I copied to see if it's 13 when I say 13. No, there's only 12 on my picture. Why did I say 13? Well, because the building system says 13, and the version 2000 that I was using at that time only has 12. But the essential 12 are on both of them, and the 13th probably has something to do with building systems. File is useful for new, open, save, save as, and send. And those are all Microsoft commands. You'll find them in Word and almost everything else that follows the Microsoft conventions. The rest of the file menu and other menus are for exploration at some unspecified future date. Next line on my screen is an unreadable icon and drawing 1.dwg. Again, there's a set of Microsoft standard full screen, tile screen, minimize, and close boxes on the right. I use tile screen because I copy a lot between drawings in a set and from reference drawings from other jobs. Now, once again, we've got the option. Usually, we'll talk about that caveat in a moment, we've got the option usually to open two drawings simultaneously within AutoCAD. So in order to do that, you use the tile mode and you size one drawing for half of it and the other drawing for half of it. And I always try to do my zoom so that the pictures are identical. If I'm looking at an architectural drawing of the roof and I'm looking at an electrical power drawing of the roof, I try to have it at the same scale so I can move one over a little bit, move the other one over a little bit, and they track pretty closely. My mind is not able to look at little things on one screen and put it on a different scale on the other screen. By the way, that works though. Isn't that bizarre? You copy a little tiny thing on the right, you get a big thing on the left because they're set up for different scales. The cut and paste is a phenomenal command, and having that work right makes life better. The caveat, let me finish the warning here now. Some people turn off the multi-document mode. You can do the same thing by opening AutoCAD twice. So you have an AutoCAD here and an AutoCAD beside it, and you shrink each of them to half of the screen. Then you can copy from one version of AutoCAD to another session of the same version of AutoCAD. The problem with that is that uses two of these many $1,000 licenses to do that. And if they catch you doing it, they'll tell you it's naughty. Explanatory note. The good news is that AutoCAD out of the box permits you to open up to 30 drawings simultaneously. Simultaneously? Yes, you probably wouldn't want to look at all 30 drawings at the same time, but you can have them all open. When I'm plotting, I will open the whole project and I'll just step through them with the plot command and plot previous. When you have to choose a plotter, you don't really have to choose a plotter. You can just tell it use the last one, and it remembers. So I'll have 30 drawings open. I'll open one, say plot previous. Then I'll open another one, plot previous. Open another one, plot previous. Now, the reason I have them all open at the same time, one of the places where I work has a very slow network. The hard part of using AutoCAD at that location is opening the drawings. So I tell it to open the drawings and I go get a cup of coffee. When I come back, it's opened all 30 drawings and I can sit down and work continuously. I don't have to stop each time I finish one and wait and wait and wait while it loads one. The bad news, some utilities will not run in multi-document mode. Now, when I say some utilities, larger engineering firms like to write their own special utilities for AutoCAD. AutoCAD is very friendly for this. A competent programmer can do marvelous things within the AutoCAD structure. And a superior programmer can do beyond that. So they start writing their own. And in the old version of AutoCAD, it didn't do multi-sessions. Well, if they wrote a utility at that time and run it on the new one, you don't do multi-sessions either. So you can only open one drawing at a time. Sometimes you can open multiple sessions of AutoCAD and simplify copying. By the way, the clipboard contents persist when you close one drawing and open another. So you can still copy between drawings in a single document mode. Now let's get that again. We're changing a title block. So you copy off some information at the bottom. Control C to copy. Close the drawing, open the new drawing, say Control V, drop it into the title block, and move on. By the way, it doesn't throw it away after you've used it one time. You can close that one, open the next one. You've still got it on the clipboard, and it still goes in. Reason I mentioned that, one of the programs I use a lot doesn't do that. You have to reload the clipboard each time you do it. Excel. Of all the bad things Microsoft has done, I think Excel comes to the top of the list. Oh, let's not talk about that. That's not today's topic. Returning to ordinary text from our explanatory note. The black workspace on my screen has white dots at 1/2 inch spacing. I mean, that's just looking at it. Put your thumb up in front of it. It looks like about 1/2 inch apart. This is called the grid. You can turn it on by saying grid return on. After you say grid return, you get choices of off, on, and spacing. I always change it to 0.25 inches or 1/4 inch. And remember, I'm an electrical engineer, and I spend all my time drawing details. Yeah, I drop elements into plan drawings. Receptacle. But when I'm actually drawing things, I'm doing details, so showing how to construct a maintenance light and receptacle at a rooftop air conditioner. I always do this stuff with a 1/4 inch grid. Matches paper. Usually I have a sloppy copy on paper that I'm copying into the machine, making it pretty. But if I have a 1/4 inch grid on my paper, 1/4 inch grid on the screen, everything works out real nice. But anyway, that's my preference. You should probably have a standard you follow. If you're working with a drafting supervisor or a senior drafter, they'll tell you what they think is the right way, or they may say that they just have a personal preference. You can do anything you want. If you follow my lead and set grid to 0.25, you may get a warning, grid too dense to display. To fix this, you zoom in at the origin. The origin is 0.0. The coordinate position of the cursor is shown on the lower left corner of the screen. Move the cursor until you see something close to 0.0. Hit Z, return, W, return. This gives you a zoom to a select place selected by the window. Do a cursor window around the origin, and the screen should refresh to many closely spaced dots. And you get the command prompt back. Now let's review that again. We said grid, it said the grid is too dense. So you know that it's out there, but it's just all squish. So you've got to zoom in to spread them out. So the command to zoom in is zoom, and it's zoom window. Window says you pick a place on the screen you want to look at. So what you do, you say zoom, return, window, return, then use the cursor to draw a little box. Now the reason we draw it at the origin rather than just, you know, in the middle of the screen you're looking at, AutoCAD has something called limits that's never made any sense to me at all. But in AutoCAD, you have an infinitely large workspace. If it's not infinite, it's as close to infinite as we can get with digital electronics. But they like to do all their work around the origin. So unless you tell it different limits, it has some small number for how big the drawing is supposed to be. And you can only use some of the commands within these limits. Well, the limits start at the origin. They go up and they go to the right. So if you zoom in at the origin, you can see where the limits start. And change the limits later if you want to. Do it again until you get reasonably spaced dots. Again, I'm looking for 1/2 inch center to center. If the whole thing seems to be getting out of control, try zoom return 0.5x. return, or zoom return, Z return, 2x return. 0.5x zooms out by a factor of 2. Zoom 2x zooms in by a factor of 2. You can move the workspace around in your window by using the scroll bars, like most Microsoft applications, or the command P return. P stands for pan. If you say pan return, then you drag the workspace around with the mouse. You know, click down and pull, release, and you can see the dots move if that's all you've got on your screen. Or by pressing the scroll wheel on your mouse and dragging. And if you don't have a scroll wheel, you've missed a lot of joy. AutoCAD is a lot of fun if you got a scroll wheel. The first part of it that's fun is finding out how it's configured on the particular machine you're using. One of the other places I work at frequently has the scroll wheel configured for dynamic zoom. So, like, you got your cursor in the middle of the screen, you roll the scroll wheel, you can move in and move out just on the scroll wheel. You move the cursor down to the lower left corner, and you zoom in and zoom out on the lower left corner. It's just fantastic. My employer has it configured for a vertical scroll, which I think is awful silly because I've got a scroll bar right there so I can move up and down real easy. And the pan works real well. But I have trouble with the zoom, you know, ZW2X return. And I like the idea of the dynamic zoom off the scroll bar. But again, whoever set it up for you tells you what you get to use. And it's probably a mistake to dig too deep into changing these to your preference. Unless it's your machine, you won't be sharing it. You change the way the mouse works, and the guy who normally uses it is not going to be happy. If you don't have scroll bars, whoops, you can get them by going to the menu under Tools, Options, Display. We're going to do this to change the color in a few minutes, and go to the checkbox for scroll bars. If you happen to go there, consider changing your crosshair size to 100%. It makes it easier to line up copies for objects by eye. Now, what we're talking about here is when you got a cursor, you got some kind of cursor thing that moves around, and actually in AutoCAD it changes form depending what you're doing. Kind of interesting to watch that. It's a feedback that AutoCAD understood your instruction. But when you don't have anything selected, you got a little cross, little itty bitty cross. Well, that's cool. I mean, it works, tells you where the cursor are, and you can use it. But if you happen to be in on this display menu, you can change those to 100%, so the horizontal goes all the way across the screen. Vertical goes all the way from the top to the bottom. And that is so slick when you're lining things up. I put a lot of text in AutoCAD. I'm pausing to think about this. Other people I know have somebody else type it up for them and then insert it. The problem is I'd rather have my typos in my drawings than have somebody else's typos in my drawing. Anyway, so when I'm doing this, I like the long crosshairs because you line up paragraphs and indents and, you know, 1A, B, that kind of stuff. But personal recommendation, that was an explanatory note. This is a good time to do snap return 0.125. And again, I've had the grid set at a quarter of an inch. I like the snap set at an eighth of an inch. Whoa! What is snap? Well, with snap on, the cursor can only take discrete locations. Those discrete locations are grid locations and intermediate locations. Now, I say that was an absolute lie. The grid and snap are independently adjustable. I'm recommending you set up grid for 0.25 and snap for 0.125 so that the only allowable positions are on a grid or halfway to a grid. Makes it nice for drawing boxes that come out square. Now again, if you have perfect vision, this isn't a problem for you. I have a terrible astigmatism. My boxes aren't square unless I have a lot of help, and this is wonderful. When we're talking about block diagrams, real nice way to draw block diagrams because the snap and the grid just make it come out so slick with no special effort on your part. Plus the fact that we've got some editing commands we'll see in a moment that help you fix it up if you do make a mistake. So we just set the snap to 1/8 inch on a grid and halfway between the grid points. When you turn snap on, the only permitted cursor positions are on grid points and halfway between grid points. Very nice for lining up rows of terminals or emergency generators. The line below my workspace has a horizontal scroll bar and tabs for model and work. model layout 1 and layout 2 on the screen print that's in the written version of this. For production, that is large building foundations, things like that, most work is done in model space, and the reproduction frame and text are placed in paper space. You look through a window from paper space into model space. You can work through the window or go directly into model space where the walls and rebar and pavement and contour lines are. Now, if all that sounded like mush in a foreign language, let's start over. What are we talking about on model space and paper space? Well, the idea, and this is pretty solid, try to hang on to this, model space is for the model. Hey, okay, if you're working on a building, the building's down there in model space. The walls, the roof, the plumbing pipes, the electrical panel boards, all that belong on the model, which is in model space. And you work on it, and you get it right, and then you want to print it. Well, when you want to print it, you don't want the big whole building. Buildings are always too big for a sheet of paper. You always have to split a building into 4 sheets of paper, certainly a sheet for each layer of the building, basement, first floor, second floor, roof. So how do you convert from a model, and it's real nice to have the whole building on the model so you just keep going through it, you don't have to worry where break lines are, how do you convert from model to something you can print? And the way AutoCAD has handled this is they invented something called paper space. Now let's forget a bit about model. We know there's a model out there and it's in model space. Now we're going to start something new. We're going to click the other tab, go into paper space. And I just said that on 2 different versions it has different names. One it's called workspace and the other it's called layout 1. But in some versions, it's called paper, and all through the documentation, it's called paper space. Now, what is paper space? Paper space is for reproduction. You want to plot the thing, you plot a piece of paper. So in paper space, you work on the paper attributes of the drawing. Well, what are the paper attributes of the drawing? Whoa, what's going on here? I'm pausing because I'm thinking of violations of what I'm just going to tell you. I'm going to tell you that a drawing should have a border. I feel strongly that a drawing should have a border. It should have a half-inch margin beyond the border so that if the plotter screws up, you still get the whole picture. And should have a heavy black line on 4 sides that is the border. Now, the reason I was pausing there is some of the newer architects think it's so cool to issue drawings with no borders. I mean, it looks like it's on clouds floating around heaven with just your drawing here in front of you. That violates the rule I learned when I did drafting many decades ago that you need a border. Well, where are you going to put the border? Where are you going to put the title block? Even the guys that don't like the border, they want a title block. They want to tell everybody they did this work and what sheet it is out of the set and what job you're working on. Where do you put the title block? We can't put it on the model because the model's all busy. Like we're doing one corner of the model, we're trying to get a plot of it. And if we put the title block down there, it's going to be on the other corner that we want to save for later. So we want to do the plotting attributes separately from the drawing attributes. So we do the drawing in model space, and we do the border and the title block in paper space. Now, if we stopped there, it would be keen. You just cut a window in the paper space, see the model space behind it, maybe do a little zoom. We just learned how to do zoom. Maybe do a little pan. We learned how to do pan. And you get the picture you want, and you got the frame you want, and you're all done, and you print it. And in fact, everything we just said is absolutely true. Except after they got the joy of this model space, paper space, they started coming up with more rules. And different people have different rules, and different people have different enforcement of the rules. But let me tell you about the rules anyway. One of the rules is that all the text should be in paper space. And it kind of makes sense. If you think of this, you don't really have a whole building in model space. What you have is an extended view of the building. So if you draw things at any reasonable text, it's all out of scale for the building. Well, that's why we put the text in paper space. Paper space is 1-to-1. That is, when you put an 1/8-inch text in paper space, you get an 1/8-inch text. Well, model space is some 1/8 inch equals a foot kind of text. So you have to put 9.6 inch text in model space to make it look right in paper space when you're using 1/8 inch to the foot scale, which is what they usually use on things like buildings and foundations and plumbing and electrical. So by putting all the text in paper space, it makes it a lot easier to do the text. Now that's arguable, and people don't argue, they just make a decision and do however they think is right. So I've got people I work for that put text in paper space. Yeah, that's a good rule. I've got people that put text in model space. They write their text in 9.6 inch height, and it goes in model space. And that works fine. I mean, the truth is both of these are workable. It's just what the powers that be in your organization have decided is right. And again, if you're doing editing, you have to be able to handle both of these without getting too bent out of shape. After the joy of text in paper space was discussed, they started putting more text in paper space. Many drawings have notes. I mean, it's just become almost universal. You put a little diamond and the number 6 in the drawing, you know, on one of the walls or doors or something, and in paper space along the edge, you have diamond 1, diamond 2, diamond 3, diamond 4, diamond 5, diamond 6. Diamond 6 says field verify locations, you know, some note that is relevant to that part of the drawing. And so typically the rule is that notes go in paper space. And even people who are a little flaky about putting descriptive text in model space almost always put their notes in paper space. And things like the revision record goes in paper space. So that's model space and paper space. You switch between them by using the tabs at the bottom that say model for model space, layout for paper space, or work for paper space, or paper for paper space. But it's pretty obvious what's going on. The way you get a window from paper space into model space, it's called a viewport. And it's very, very easy to do. You say insert viewport, and it says how many you want. You say, I want one. And it says, where do you want it? And you draw a little box with your cursor, and you got a viewport. And the way it comes out, it always gives you the whole drawing through the viewport. So you have to do the zoom and pan to get the part you want showing through it. Well, how do you do that? You double click on the window, and then you're in model space from paper space. Paper space is still there, but you can control in model space. How do you go back to it? You say PS on the command line. That takes you back to paper space. Now, be very careful about this. This is fine if you're setting up your own drawing. It is not fine if it's an existing construction drawing that's already been circulated and everybody's approved it. You're just making a minor modification on it. If you scroll in model space through a viewport, you've changed the drawing forever, and it's very hard to get back. If you zoom something through the viewport, it's very hard to return it to its original condition. Well, why am I telling you all these terrible things? I'm telling you because it's better to work on the model in model space, not through the viewport. It's better to work on paper in paper space. Don't use this ability to go in through the viewport unless it's your own drawing that you're making up for this purpose. If it's yours, yeah, it's the only way to get the thing to work. But if it's somebody else's drawing, there's just too much chance of getting the thing screwed up and not being able to return it. Now, actually, I've gotten fairly good at returning them. I made the mistake often enough, yes, that I have learned how to get them back. But it's tedious, and it's unpleasant, and it's avoidable. Okay, what are we doing? We just talked about model space and paper space. Right. Sounds complicated, but permits great flexibility in working on a project in model space without worrying about plotting. It permits great flexibility working on details of the presentation, title block, text notes, etc. in paper space. And the greatest joy is that paper space is always one-to-one. What you see is what you get. But paper space permits zooming in and out. That is, you can have one window in model space at wide angle showing the entire range of the project, with other windows zooming into particular door plans or whatever. The windows and zoom ratios can be changed dynamically. The only problem is getting the right scale on the key plan for each detail. We didn't mention this, but paper space can be on top of model space. You can actually type in paper space at the same place there's something in model space. They don't interfere, they coexist nicely. I say that, and again, once again, I think about the examples where it's terrible that they don't exist nicely. If the rule for your drawing is to mark where details come in model space, that is, you go into model space and you draw a circle and a reference number where you're going to do a detail, that's keen. If you do it in paper space, there's this tremendous hazard that if anybody accidentally goes through the viewport to make a modification, where you've identified the detail has moved. Well, actually, the model space has moved, but the circle of your detail doesn't line up with what you're detailing anymore. So it's not totally independent whether you do it in paper space or model space. You learn by pain, and you've been warned. If you've got something you really don't understand, check to see if you accidentally worked through a viewport into model space. Below the tabs on paper space and model space on my sheet are three lines of command history. You get a full pop-up screen of command history by hitting F2. You turn it off by hitting F2 again. Cut and paste works in the command history. I mean, you've got the newest command at the bottom, you got the old commands up ahead. If you want to repeat an old command, you just do a cut and paste, just like you would in any application, down to the current command line, hit return, and it executes. Now, this is kind of nice if you're doing stuff about changing properties or things with very complicated typed names. Cut and paste works so you can identify properties using the list command and apply them to another object using the change property command, or you could simply use match property without checking what's going on. And again, we'll talk about this later. Bottom line on my screen has cursor coordinates and 8 buttons for features you might want. We will only look at snap, grid, polar, OSnap, and model. The initial screen just described was the result of a template. It's called acad.dwt. A template of this name is supplied with AutoCAD by the manufacturer, but usually modified by the installer to try to match what is done in that particular office. My screen was set up with a grid at 10 feet. So I look at the grid and I say, a half inch apart. Well, they're not a half inch apart. They were actually 10 feet apart because it was set up for a civil engineer. There's nothing wrong with that. The version 2000 from the screen print was set up for a grid at 1/2, good for an electrical engineer. I modify any system I'm sitting in front of for the details grid at 1/2 inch. Explanatory narrative. For many revisions, AutoCAD started a new drawing by opening something called acad.dwg. Ordinary persons could modify this drawing and understood what they were getting. This is back when AutoCAD worked off a local machine and kept machines on the local hard drive. Today, the executable code is usually on the local machine, but all drawing files are on LAN servers where they get backed up each night. Anyway, you had a base drawing that you kept current with the layers you commonly used in a standard type block and sometimes some standard details or notes that were required on almost every job. AutoCAD.dwg is no longer part of the AutoCAD package, but I still have several old base drawings. I use them to collect special details I expect to use again and real good things I find on foreign drawings that I might be able to use on mine, like sexy north arrows or scale bars. End explanatory narrative. The contortions with grid and snap and zoom and pan do not have to be repeated each time. This would be a good time to save as drawing1.dwg as my drawing. This references the fact that we changed the grid to 1/2 inch and the 1/8 inch snap. Note carefully where AutoCAD wants to save the drawing. I say again, when you use Save As, look very closely at what the thing is doing in your behalf. It has chosen a directory to put this in. If you're happy with that directory, fine, you know where it is. If you're not happy with it, this is the way you get to change it. You may prefer to put my documents, my drawing in my documents on the local C drive. Save As is better than Save. You don't get a chance to see what the machine is doing or modify the destination with Save. Pause here. Different versions act differently. The older versions, you don't get to see anything with Save. You say Save and you go whoosh, whoosh, and it's all saved. The newer ones, it goes through, lets you see where it's going. By the way, just for an aside, this would be an explanatory note if it had been thought out in advance. You don't have to save in the current version. If you are lucky enough to have the newest version of AutoCAD, you can save in the older versions so that other people can use it. And I have encountered no cases where people lost functionality by saving in an older version and bringing it back to the newer version. Now, yes, there are all these wonderful features in the newest version, but they don't seem to affect the drawing. They affect more how you create the drawing. The drawing translates very well. I say translates because if you try to open a new drawing in the older version, it refuses to even try. But if you save it in the older version, it opens fine and works fine. Again, no problems encountered or reported. Polar, sounds like a bear, not a bear, is a new command since version 14 that makes drawing a pleasure for persons with astigmatism. With Polar turned on, this is one of those button things at the bottom, the machine tries to draw straight lines, horizontal, vertical, 30 degrees, 45 degrees, and 60 degrees in all four quadrants. It will draw lines at intermediate values, but not if they are close to a regular angle. It snaps to the regular angle. If you want to draw a peculiar line, like you're trying to connect things that you really want to connect, but it's almost 30 degrees, you have to turn off Polar at the bottom. Again, I use Polar almost exclusively because it makes my drawings better with less editing. When I edit drawings prepared by skilled draft persons, I note that they do almost all lining up by eye. They do not use regular spacing, they do not use snap, they do not use polar. Spacing between identical units varies and the text doesn't line up horizontally or vertically. The visual aspect of such drawings is disturbing to me. I always use grid, snap, and polar, and I do not modify other people's drawings to put them back on the snap. It's very, very difficult to do. I say that, but it probably isn't. Every object on the drawing has an insert point associated with it. When you drop it on the drawing, there is a place you hold it where you move it around and drop it. That place is called the insert point. It's one of the attributes of the object. And all you have to do is find that insert point and put it on the snap, and you've rationalized the drawing. And it's not hard to find that insert point. This OSnap that we haven't talked about yet, one of the choices in OSnap is insert point. You could turn everything off, just insert point. So when you bring your cursor to an object, it snaps onto the insert point if OSnap is on. Well, you say I'm going to move it, you snap onto the insert point, then you turn off OSnap, turn on snap, and you'll drop it onto your drawing snap grid. But again, you have to do that with every object. I have never tried to rationalize other people's done. I've lined them up by eye so that they look a little better by eye, but that's as far as I've gone. Explanatory narrative. Why would you want to insert a picture into an AutoCAD drawing? Well, maybe to plot it really big, like 24 by 36, to hang on the wall for a meeting. To cross-hatch out pieces which are being demolished, to box in pieces which must be installed, or to get a graphic sheet with instructions that is ready for email. Returning to main text, you can insert an image by saying image attach or use the insert image from the menu, then choosing a JPG file for example, and choosing a location, that's an insertion point, a scale, and a rotation. And again, what you do is you say image attach, and you click on the, you go to the screen it'll show you, and you click on the one you're interested in, and it gives a nice little thumbnail so you know what you're picking up. And then it asks you, where do you want to drop it, what scale do you want to use, and do you want to twist it a little bit. The values for insertion point and scale are usually unimportant. There are many ways to zoom to make it the size you want and pan to place it where you want it. Rotation is used for pictures that are 90 degrees off, that is portrait and landscape, or just 2 degrees off and don't look right. Again, trial and error works very well on this. When it looks right is a good time to do an intermediate save. AutoCAD does automatic saves, but you really want to save it manually when it looks right, when you don't want to have to reproduce all the work you've just done to get it looking that way. And a quick explanatory narrative. Recognize what you just did. You converted a digital camera snapshot into a poster, or did something like microphotography that used to cost $10,000. Very, very powerful function, being able to insert a raster. Back to main text. Layer Manager is a very powerful tool for complicated drawing. It contributes nothing to simple sketches and can usually be ignored for markups and revisions. However, the concepts are powerful and should be understood, especially for times that AutoCAD seems to be acting strangely. It's usually a layer, property, or block problem. You say LA and hit the return key. The Layer Manager comes up, and there's a screen print in the written version of the course. Layer Manager is a very complicated screen. Each of the elements of it is important at a different time in using AutoCAD. All we're going to look at is the fact that it shows all the layers that are presently in a drawing, and it shows whether they're turned on or off. The column with the light bulbs is turn it on, or if it's a dark bulb, it's turned off. We have problems of people turning on too many layers or not turning on enough layers. And again, this is the kind of thing you very commonly get into just when you're ready to ship a set. And the names of the layers usually have some relevance to what they are, but again, the list command tells you exactly what layer an object is on. If you turn on or turn off, the example would be the room names in a building. Usually the background has the room names, but sometimes you turn them off because they're in the way. They overlap stuff that you're drawing in the room. If you're going to leave them turned on, you'd probably go over to the column that's called color and change it to 254. 254 is a very light color, so you can still read them, but they don't interfere with the stuff on top of them. That's the kind of stuff you do on Layer Manager. Turn a layer off completely, or change the color to something light. Now, pay attention. This is a real good thing here. If you've got, you get some real strange lines on architectural drawings. They mean something to architects. They don't mean anything to anybody else. If you can find what that line is using the list command, you can turn it off on the Layer Manager. And again, the color is critical, and this idea of using very light colors for things we want to keep but we don't want them to be prominent. We'll come back to that. That is something that you have to do. This is from a new drawing that was blank in Autodesk Building Systems 2005, and it looks like there are about 40 layers that are already there. That sound complicated to you? That sounds pretty complicated to me. But the truth is, on this set, about 10 of them are for architects, 2 of them are for electricals, and 6 of them are for mechanicals. So in an electrical set, we usually have 10 to 20 layers, things like lights, light circuits. Usually the switches are on the lights layer, or you can have a separate switches circuit. There's a receptacle circuit, so you can look at the lights, or you can look at the receptacles, and you don't have to redraw everything else, and you can see how they line up with each other. A lot of times I'll have access to the technology stuff, so I can see where the data jacks are going in contrast to the power jacks, Well, if you're going to plug in a computer, you got to plug in your local area network. You got to get some power for the thing and maybe even power for the screen. So it's important to coordinate these things. But I don't want to issue the technology drawings. Technology drawings are from the technology group, and they go to the technology contractor. I just have to be able to look at them and make sure the stuff I give the electrical contractor is coordinated, that makes sense with each other. As I say, the layer manager pop-up that's shown in the written version is from a new drawing in Autodesk Building Systems 2005. Layer 0 is highlighted. I think I probably moved the cursor down to there. The box at the top says that the current layer is layer 0. Layer 0 is special for several reasons. It's the default layer when you start a new drawing. That is, if you just say new and start typing and drawing things, everything's on layer 0. Most of the time that works. And it doesn't cause you any trouble. Simple drawing, all layer 0, everybody happy. It has the unique characteristic when you insert a block into a drawing and the current layer is layer 0, then the block keeps its colors and attributes unchanged. Any other layer, the block takes on the attributes of the layer where it's inserted. On most systems, layer 0 is white. See the highlighted stripe and the color column. By default, it prints as a moderate line, and very good for sketches. Some firms redo the defaults and make layer 0 something very light, which is not good for sketches. And this becomes obvious when you print it. I usually fix it by changing the color to yellow on the layer manager. Yellow is it's rarely messed with. They just leave yellow. I always use yellow. And I get burned once in a while. I have to go back to white or blue or something. But yellow is a pretty safe color to use. White actually is mucked up more often than yellow is. You change color by clicking on the intersection of the white line in the color column and choose your desired color from the pop-up, which I reproduced in the written version. And you got something like 255 colors to choose from. There are something like 9 major colors at the bottom and all kinds of shades in between. Now, obviously, 255 is not the same as millions. No, we don't have an infinite range of colors, but we got a real wide range of colors. Certainly more than you can identify by eye. You can call out the color by name, and each of these actually does have a name, or you can call it out by number. By convention, we use the word name for the first 8 or 9, and the number name for the upper ones. Note that white is the present value, both in the window and the marked box on the simplified palette. You click on the yellow on the palette to get that display color and the line width associated with yellow. Note that on my pop-up, something has been deleted from the right. I don't know what it is. There's just a clear blank that something was removed. So somebody has configured my AutoCAD so that a feature that came from the factory isn't available to me, and they weren't very tidy cleaning up afterward. Note especially 6 gray boxes near the bottom. This is below the main colors I was telling you about. They are gray boxes, colors 250 to 255. Usually, but not always, color 252 is shaded 25%, 253 is 50%, 254 is 75%. Shading fades out the line. For backgrounds and details that must be shown for reference, but are not part of the direction to the contractor. And it works very nicely on sketches as well. This completes section 2 of the audio version. Please join me for section 3, Basic Draw Commands.